seen anything like that.
I'm a very confident front runner for Caddy for 33 years, 145 wins now, and that's the best win I've ever had.
I have no idea what you have.
I don't know. How are we going to count all the shots? I can't keep track.
Fuck! God damn it.
I don't think he's pleased.
Of course you would. That's a particularly stupid question. It's the Irish Open. Of course you want to play at the weekend.
Hello, Golf Weekly listeners. You're very welcome along. We are coming to you via podcast, as usual. And also, very excitingly, we are here on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, Snapchat.
Instagram.
We're on some or all of those things. We are here in the fancy new Off The Ball studio. OTB AM comes to you every morning. Nathan Murphy, as you've heard, is here.
How are you?
Very well. That was quite the start. And Fionn Davenport, hello.
Hey.
Nice to have the dream team back together.
Mm.
So we're going to chat about the Sony Open and South African Open, which are on this week. We're going to talk about Dustin Johnson's annihilation of the field in Hawaii this week at the Tournament of Champions. Has his length ruined the course is one of the questions. We'll play some Padraig Harrington, who was in this very seat, Nathan Murphy.
In this very seat?
Yeah.
What a thrill for me.
Yeah. You were saying it's not the first time you've been in the same seat as Padraig Harrington?
I was saying that in our little rehearsal. I was saying, yeah, when I was in his house, of course, I would have gone to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So therefore, I would have shared a seat.
Which implies you sat, though, on the toilet.
Well, I didn't want to make a mess.
So you did. So, because I was going to say ones or twos, so clearly we know.
Well, he just said there he didn't want to make a mess, so potentially he didn't trust his aim.
Oh, so you were...
Well, you'd be a bit nervous in Padraig Harrington's house.
Which is
also, you might be wanting there might have been nice pictures and things around the place.
Oh,
what
dear.
Kind of aim do you have? Like, you know,
the pressure was on.
It's not fixed just by
like
a little...
it is now. I just say, I'm Padraig Harrington. He was in here in this very seat.
Yes.
Joe gave him the hard sell on trying to get some merchandise off him.
Mm.
So as you can see, we have Andy Lee's boxing gloves. We have a Kevin Kilbane. What's that?
That was given to every member of the 2002 World Cup team. I know you can't quite see it in camera. I'll move.
It's a wooden football.
Out the way. It's very nice, though. It's a nice wooden football signed by all the team. The prize asset, I think, Conor Murray's boots worn against New Zealand for the Lions.
Oh, wow.
Actually worn with the muck on
them.
Yeah,
I was looking at them before we went on air and I was going, nice.
Yeah. And if you see there, we have the 2010 US Open Pebble Beach flag not signed by Graham McDowell.
I do have it signed at home. I just didn't want to give them the signed one.
It would make no difference. Yeah, so we were saying to Padraig Harrington to feel free to drop in any little piece of memorabilia. Paul Kimmage was not impressed with the standard of books. He's looking around. He was like, don't think much of these. A lot of these I'm not so sure about. So
White's a matter of life and death. How dare you, Kimmage?
We may get a signed rough ride sent in. Who knows?
Yeah.
So all of that is on the way. And we'll be generally trying to do this on TV podcast listeners or Facebook Live going forward. I mean, it does open up the possibility of, if Peter Laurie is in, getting him to do some putting drills here on the ground, and we'll get used to all the cameras. And, well, I guess we'll see where it goes. But if you just like it on podcast, you'll still get it here on podcast. I think the sound quality is good. I'm hearing it in my ears.
You're happy?
Which is a relief. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because we've done it once or twice in here, and we've had some complaints about the sound quality. So I think we're good. And this opens up the possibility of doing some cool stuff. Maybe even the three of us could just have a putting challenge one day.
Well, maybe for the Masters, we could do it up on top here because it's probably Masters green speed right on top of the...
Sure.
The wooden table.
On top of the
just
wooden
get a sheet
table.
Of glass and do it there.
I suppose the dream, I mean the real dream if we're talking 2019, 2020 territory, is to get what Sky Sports have. The screen and you hit the full shots.
Oh yeah.
That's the one really, isn't
shot
it?
Shot centre.
Shot centre, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Shot centre is the dream.
I want a Sky Kart.
Right.
Well, maybe since sometimes you're not here, you could have your own Sky Kart behind you.
In your house.
In your house.
I could set it up in the back garden and bring, say, Tommy Fleetwood, who lives not far from me.
It's true.
And by not far from me, he lives, I don't know, within a 100-mile radius. But
when you're doing Skype, so you'll just send the same to the podcast listeners, what room in your house are you planning to do it from?
The living room, usually.
Right.
Which is next to the internet.
Okay.
Why?
I'm just curious. It's obviously a decision that you have to think about when you're doing the old Skype.
Yeah, but I try and get... See, I have a tendency to pace when I'm on the phone.
Okay.
And I get mocked for it. Like, no matter who I'm talking about, I just kind of walk up and down the room. So, and it makes me speak faster.
And you're not a slow speaker.
No. So what I'm trying to do is to slow down, and by sitting on the couch next to the internet, so I have the strongest wireless signal, and then you can kind of, relax more into it.
Okay, very good. Well, we look forward to Skyping you from time
maybe
to time.
Sky have a old Sky Kart and they've upgraded to 4K HD.
The Sky Kart's very good.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Did you see, I don't know if it's slightly off topic, but if you've watched any of the Ashes on BT Sport.
I think this entire chat thus far has been off topic. Been off topic. And we will come back to the
BT
subject matter.
BT Sport
soon.
Have been inspired by the Golf Sky Kart. So what they do is in the nets, and where they'll have, like, say, Sean Pollock explaining how to play spin, how to bat against spin. And it's sensational. Like, I'd be, at best, a lukewarm cricket fan. I like it. But I don't really, I've never played cricket. So, but the level of instruction is very similar to that level of instruction you get in the Sky Kart, where you get players explaining, this is how you play a bunker shot. Mm. You know, like they had, what's his name? Danny, who won the Masters.
Danny Willett.
The name slipped out of my
back
head.
On topic.
Danny Willett gave one of the best bunker lessons on the Sky Kart I've ever seen, ever. Right? It was phenomenal.
Okay, interesting.
So that kind of thing is really, I think it's just, is really bolstered how sports is broadcast.
We're also, Joe, just before you get started.
Yes, sorry, yes.
So we're going to do some cool stuff in studio. We also have a chance to, like, get out of studio and do some cool stuff now and
video some stuff.
All and so we're
do
going
you know
to be
the practice ground in Lutterstown? We could go there.
Well, yeah, we could go there.
It's well, amazing.
I think we should really, I mean, we've often spoken about it, commit to doing some decent tips. And so we could go out to Lutterstown. You've got Peter Lowry there.
Yeah.
And he can record some stuff. But, I mean, it'd be cool. Look, we might get Shane Lowry on once every now and then. Harrington might come back again and
get Rory on.
Okay, good idea.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Where were you for our production meeting?
Now that you mentioned it.
Damn.
I knew there was somebody.
No one thought of that at all.
You had said Dustin Johnson. Well, I had said Jordan Spieth. I knew there was somebody we were missing.
Do you think Tiger Woods would be worth getting on?
Well, he's back playing, so why not?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, write this down. That's good stuff. I'll get working on that during the week.
Wow.
So, tweets firstly, at Golf Weekly NT. It was quiet-ish, I think, over the Christmas. People are busy. I've kind of given up Twitter since January 1st.
Have you?
Yeah. I will go on and check my mentions. Basically, don't reply to anyone.
Vanity.
Vanity. But just in case, you know, you keep an eye on things. But in terms of, like, just repeatedly checking the home button across the day and sometimes seeing the same tweet six different checks. Yeah. And go,
well, it's a hateful cesspit of anger and vitriol.
You know,
so
it's the mind is clearer. I'm not full of all these stupid opinions on different things that I don't need to worry about. And God, I recommend it. Now, I think I was checking it too much. You know. At least once an hour, at least. And if you're in here, it's just open.
All the time, yeah.
All the time. So you just, it's a dreadful thing. But anyway, at Golf Weekly NT. Kirk Russell, looking forward to the podcast this week. DJ making Happy Gilmore look average off the tee in Hawaii. Worthy of a review. Yeah, we'll do that. Also, best golfing Christmas present, anyone?
I got a set of chocolate golf balls.
Okay, technically not a golf present.
No, but I got I looked and I went, ooh, and then my first thought was like, they're not Pro V's. They're not TaylorMade's.
They're chocolate.
No, and then I saw that they were chocolate because I opened them up and I saw golf balls and then I was, oh. But my first thought, my initial thought was disappointment. Like, what are these? Like, seriously, these are like just crappy old, they're not even softballs. Are they Bellatas? And then I looked properly and I went, oh, chocolate guy. Lovely.
Did you have that little rant before you discovered what
head.
They actually were?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely in my head.
How childish must that person think of you that, you know, if I'm getting him chocolate, it has to be like a golf ball. It's like something you do for a 5-year-old. So anyway, I didn't get any.
I didn't either. My mother-in-law used to be very good at getting golf stuff for, but I'd say it was recommended she stop so that I don't play any golf.
Okay.
It was from my girlfriend.
Still got a girlfriend.
Oh dear. Well, we keep counting how many times you mentioned girlfriend in 2018.
If we can get a little buzzer.
What's the over-under guess?
In 2018?
Let's say you do 40 pods in this year.
Yeah.
120?
No, come on.
Three times a pod?
I think...
You're right, 150.
I think 25 mentions is about the right over-under.
Okay.
That's just over one a pod.
That you because I've made it a thing. Or not I've made it a thing. It's
been picked up on.
Yeah.
And you've played up to it a
bit. I play up to it. So for my shame, I play up to it a bit.
Kevin Maher said Harrington was absolutely brilliant. We'll play you a clip of Harrington later on. A national treasure, more Harrington, please. Again, good note.
Right,
Harrington.
Tiger Woods.
No one thinks of getting Harrington
anymore.
Warwick
Harrington.
Yeah. We just didn't think to ask him.
Well, I just never thought he was that interesting.
No.
Does he know we host a golf podcast?
I wouldn't think so.
Did you not have occasion, given that you were in studio with him for the guts of an hour, to say, hey, Porrick?
I think when we were in his house last year, we did mention the golf podcast.
Do you think he really remembered?
No. But I suspect Potter Cantwell would know. There's just something about him. Do you remember when we were at that Ryder Cup lunch?
Yes.
And we were talking to Paul McGinley and mentioned, oh, because we have this golf podcast. And Paul McGinley gave that look of, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
I listen.
Yeah.
And we're both of us alike.
I looking at each other going,
he might listen. Paul, if you're listening to this,
yeah,
even a little DM to say, I heard that.
Yeah. That was a great moment.
It was a nice moment.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, like, Harrington's basic philosophy is to read nothing about himself.
That's true.
Interestingly, dating back, he revealed, to a headline in the Irish Independent in 1993.
When he was a young guy.
He was in the British Amateur, and he had qualified or was going well, and the headline was, Stackstown Express! Exclamation mark. Now, you might think, it's a nice headline. Harrington took it as a jibe at his slow play.
Ah.
Yeah, and rushed a shot in the British Amateur Championship, messed up the shot because of rushing, realised he'd been affected, hated himself for it, and said, I'm never reading anything about myself again. I'm not being affected.
It's an amazing discipline.
And a few people tweeted in a picture of that very report in 1993. I don't know how they got it, but...
Because over the years, I've also heard him say, very wisely, that if you don't... So the price you pay is that you don't read anything positive about yourself. Mm-hmm. But the benefit is that you don't believe anything negative about yourself either. Yeah, so yeah.
Now, if you read the positive stuff and your self-worth is in some way...
linked to it, yeah, absolutely.
It's hard to... How can you say, I take the positive but don't take the negative? How do you do that?
Yeah. Well, especially Harrington, and like you touched upon what the average punter says about Harrington post-winning the three majors. If he's to read some of the analysis pieces from non-golf reporters about Harrington's behaviour and the way he went about his golf swing in those 3 or 4 years afterwards...
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't feel too good about himself.
Yeah, it was funny where he said, sometimes I get into a taxi and we were asking him, how do you feel about your legacy? And do you worry your legacy might be the guy who won three majors and then changed his swing and messed it all up, which obviously isn't the case, but you know. And he said, yeah, that bothers me. And Paul Kimmage was saying, that's not out there. And Harry was like, no, it's out there. Like, taxi drivers will say it to me. And if I'm in a bad mood, I'll say, well, hang on.
Yeah. Is that part of why, like, at the second half of last season, like, he had that one very strong, strident message, which was like, no matter what happens now, my legacy is assured.
Maybe yeah, because he was very that.
Like, and you could hear him, like, when he was doing the co-com for whatever the majors, he kept saying it, and I thought, geez, that's an incredibly positive way to see yourself. Yeah.
Otherwise, he'd be driven mad.
Like, we were just having a conversation outside the perennial conversation of Ireland's greatest sports person, and is Harrington that person? Like, it's 10 years since he won his last major, and his reputation, his legacy, none of it has been damaged at all.
No. If anything, the subsequent 10 years have showed how difficult it is to compete at this sport and heightens what he achieved, you know? Mm. Anyway, we'll talk Harrington later on. So, Harrington had mentioned that Tommy Fleetwood, he wasn't sure about Tommy Fleetwood's short game. Colin Greensmith, I saw Fleetwood at the Irish Open in the K Club, he says, Wednesday night on the putting green, really grafting, couldn't see how he'd keep a card, never mind top 50 in the world, delighted for him. Woodsy, question for this week's podcast. Oh, Woodsy, is Rory McIlroy the Wayne Rooney of golf?
You mean the top scorer for England and Manchester United?
Well, his best years were from 18 to 24, fans always thinking, hoping he can get back to that level. Again, so maybe, look, Wayne Rooney is kind of a bad example, but if you're classing Wayne Rooney as best years, 18 to 24, will Roy's best years be 18 to 24?
No.
Let's come back in a year's time, and I think we'll have a far better idea.
This feels like a definitive year, doesn't it? For all the reasons we've talked about. And then there were loads of tweets. I won't read them all out, but it was there were loads of, like, between the 22nd and 24th, 25th of Christmas, of people looking forward to their holidays, and it was all ahead of them, and stuff like... Bar Rogers saying, I'm trying to get over jet lag. I've flown home for Christmas from San Francisco, wide awake at 4 a.m. listening to Golf Weekly Pod. This was on Christmas Eve, and now fully awake and giggling, and woke the wife.
Our work here is done.
Great stuff, lads. Yeah. Hashtag friend of the pod. Bar Rogers probably back in San Fran now.
Oh, I got it. A few
pounds heavier.
I've noticed I've gotten, so obviously my other hat, for listeners who don't know, is as a travel guy.
Oh, I thought you said your other half for a second.
No, my other hat.
I thought we were
talking. Oh, sorry. I thought you said hat.
No.
I meant to mention number two.
No.
Your other half is a travel guy? This is not what I had heard.
So my other hat is as a travel guy. And so I get, you know, I'll get questions on Twitter, but I've noticed of late I'm getting questions say, Fionn, what do you think of, and you know, whatever, it'd be like thinking of taking the wife away in January, where would you recommend? And then at the end with hashtag FOTP, which I feel is like, it's not fair because I have to reply to those, you know?
Because the one thing a travel writer doesn't want is to be asked, where should I go?
Well, it's like, go to a travel agency and stop, you know.
Yeah, but they're trying to sell you something.
Yeah, well, when you say friend of the pod, it's like, oh, we have a bond, you know? There's a bond there and I can't.
No, if someone asks you for advice with hashtag
friend of the pod, I have to answer. So, by the way, I know if you're listening, I know you've sent me a tweet, I will reply.
Where would you recommend?
I can't remember what the question was.
I'm going to go to New York this year, I think.
Oh, yeah?
I went once in my life in 2010 and it was magical. And every year I think, why don't I go back there? And that's the plan. April or May, get there. Just do it.
Nice time.
There's always a reason not to go.
No, there aren't.
Well, you know. Like,
what?
Just lots of reasons.
Name two reasons not to go. Name one reason not to go.
There's always something else that, in terms of what you might spend your money on, that from a sensible point of view is higher up on the priority list.
Well, he is planning for a wedding.
Like a wedding this year. Just for, you know, there's always reasons not to go. Why hasn't it happened in 7 years? There was just always something on.
Because, and
making it happen this year, Fionn.
I saw something about, I read a story, a very unfortunate girl who lost her life to cancer at 28, died at 28, but she'd written this letter, and one of the things she wrote in it, you know, it's one of those kind of Facebooky bits of advice. But the thing I liked was she goes, spend your money on experiences.
I let that hang for a second. It was good. Victoria Tediora, who we met.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoyed the podcast over Christmas. Looking forward to much more of the Boys Back in Town pods, because we were all together in Christmas.
Right.
It was one that had Dave McIntyre, Fionn Ann.
Dave.
Nathan Murphy. Lauren Tracy, 22nd of December. When you have so many amazing podcasts dropping and not enough hours to listen to them. He mentioned us. He mentioned No Laying Up. He mentioned On The Mark.
Never heard of it.
Pod Save America. Pod Save America.
What?
John
Lovett. Pod Save.
Look, we're in good company
there. You're kind of over Pod Save America though, aren't you?
Yeah.
I still am. John Favreau, I like. Yeah.
I go through a spell where I throw myself into one for like about 3 weeks and then just go, I don't like these people anymore.
I was going to say, there's so many in-jokes and they're so happy with themselves, and then I thought, shit. Ed Byrne, 22nd of December, really enjoying the pod today from Penang, Malaysia.
Yep.
It was all ahead of them. 21st of December, Nick Gordon, going on holiday Saturday, and then now have my favourite podcast to listen to on the plane. Cheers, boys. Merry Christmas. Well, it's all done now. We're back. So that's they're your tweets. Dustin Johnson, world number one Dustin Johnson, surged to an 8-shot victory with a sterling performance at the Century Tournament of Champions. He closed with an 8-under par 65, took the title by a sizable margin from closest competitor John Rahm. How many shots in the end was it?
He won by
8.
Okay.
Shot 8-under on Sunday.
Yeah, 65. Mm. The highlight being Johnson eagled the par 4. I don't know why I'm reading this like I'm on a news report from the 30s. Yeah. But eagle on the par 4 was the highlight. 430-yard tee shot. Landed and rolled within inches of the pin and he tapped in for 2. So Dustin Johnson putting down a marker. He's still dedicated. He's still on the hunt. He's still living his life the right way. Looks in good shape. Ticking all the boxes. So one of the questions I wanted to put to you both was, this was a tournament I used to really enjoy. And I used to, you know, they'd get the roll on the hill, a lot of downhill shots and it'd roll on and, you know, you'd have 400-yard drives and it was great fun. And occasionally someone would drive the green here and there. Johnson's, well, the dominance was one part of it, I suppose. If it was a shootout, maybe it would have been more exciting. But just the extent to which his length made this course so easy for him.
Mm.
There were like risk-free, grip it and rip it tee shots downhill again and again and again, and after a while, I don't know, maybe just me, it didn't quite do it for her.
Yeah, and it's strange because this was one of the strongest fields ever, because when you go back 6-7 years with the Tournament of Champions, a lot of the best players didn't really fancy going to Hawaii, whereas they had practically everybody who was anybody was there this time.
Is there any reason that's happened? Jordan Spieth said last year, if I don't turn up for this thing, shoot me or call me out.
Yeah, maybe once somebody like Spieth starts turning up all the time. Dustin Johnson always played.
Justin Thomas was there.
Yeah.
And Justin Thomas, defending champion. So they had pretty much everybody. Like, I used to always, same as you, we used to always say, like, the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah.
Because it almost felt like this tournament was a reward for golf nerds. It's on really late at night over here. You'd stay up, beautiful. it's an interesting course. You've decent sport when there's not much else going on in that first weekend in January. But yeah, this year, and even the last couple of years, it's turned into such a shootout. Mm. It's bloody boring.
Yeah. There's no... you can't really go wrong off the tee.
No.
I played it, you know. I mean, I played like because when I was in Hawaii, like, and they said, oh yeah, the nearby golf courses, what's it called? Kapalua.
Kapalua.
And I was like, oh my God, I'd love to play. So like a big nerd. And I went over, and as often is the case, slightly disappointing.
Right.
It's still lovely, but it's not, it, like you guys, it doesn't have that magical tuning in at 3 a.m. God, oh, Hawaii.
Hmm. Four or five years ago, I stayed up, I'd say, every night of it till 3 a.m.
So maybe it's also, that's changed. Maybe there's a bunch of people really getting into their golf at the moment who loved it and thought it was great.
My take on it would be that, like, already you read the articles afterwards, is one of two tones is taken. Either, oh my God, Dustin Johnson's going to dominate 2018. Oh my God, Dustin... like, this is the whole thing is ruined now, or, you know, this golf course plays downhill, a lot of holes play downhill, he's obviously a monster hitter, so, and he's dialed in, like, it's to be churlish to take anything away from Dustin Johnson. He's dialed in, he's putting well. Like, this is not an indicator of anything. It's an indicator that he plays very well on this course when he's playing well, because he hits that ball so long that he can catch the hill and then get an extra 70 yards a run. So all of a sudden, he's hitting 350-yard drives, like, for peanuts. And, you know, but and then I was talking to a friend and he was going, but that's what fans want to see. They want to see you driving par fours. And I'm like, yeah, maybe you want to see, but it was such a throwaway thing. It was just like nothing.
But you want to see, sorry, Joe, you want to see people driving par fours when it's risk and reward. There's no real risk here. You're absolutely bombing it.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, Brandel Chamblee coming out describing that tee shot where he almost had the albatross off the tee as the greatest shot of all time, so, just seemed bizarre.
What's Chamblee's rationale? First of all, I don't think it's possible to call any shot the greatest shot unless it's hit under the most severe pressure. Yeah. Like, that's
context is everything.
Sam Snead albatross, you know, in the Masters.
What's the Chamblee logic?
So Chamblee is saying, and he put it out as a tweet, and people straight away counter going, what are you talking about, the greatest shot of all time? And he goes, it is. And he doubled down and he goes, hitting a ball long and accurate is the hardest thing. Hitting a drive accurately and straight is the hardest thing in golf. Ergo, this is the greatest shot of all time. And again, people were countering, going, naming other shots. And then what he did is he put out his 10 best shots. He put out a tweet with his 10 best shots, and this was number one. Now,
what was number two? Or what were some of the shots in the top 10?
Mickelson, Tiger.
Mickelson at the Augusta.
Yeah.
From the straw.
Yeah, from
Tiger
from
Augusta.
Yeah. No, he didn't put the chip. Oh, he did put the chip. Sorry, the Chris DeMarco, the one we beat Chris DeMarco.
But hang on. If you take Chamblee at his own logic there, which is completely flawed, then every single one of the top 10 should be a really long drive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he's saying that's the hardest thing to do, and I presume in the history of golf there have been 10 unbelievably long and straight drives, then they should be his top 10. So he's completely contradicting himself.
And not only, I mean, obviously we're fans of Brandel Chamblee, but he's absolutely wrong in this instance. And I went away, and rather than just sit there with my own opinion, I actually did some research. And so it... like, there's been only one hole-in-one on a par four on the PGA Tour in history. Uh-huh. And it was the 17th, 2001, at the Phoenix Open, Andrew McGee. Now, I went...
Andrew McGee.
Yeah, the great Andrew McGee, another journeyman player. But Andrew McGee had, on the 16th, he'd had a double bogey. And so he was on the tee box and he was annoyed. And so he muscled up and he wasn't a big hitter. And whatever it was, it's 332 yards from... tee to green, so obviously it was much shorter, it was 100 yards shorter, but still. And Steve Pate, Gary Nicklaus, Jack's son, and Tom Byram were on the 17th green, and if you look on YouTube you can see a ball just kind of trundling and it hits Tom Byram's putter and goes in.
No.
Yeah, and someone, I think it was Gary Nicklaus, goes, it's the best putt Byram made all day. But anyway, so and that was it. But and so you're thinking, okay, so even by Brandel Chamblee's own logic, that's a better shot because it went in.
And he hit the putter.
But not only that, so Aaron Baddeley, so get this, at the 2015 Valero Texas Open, Aaron Baddeley also holed out with a driver on a par four at the 17th, but it was his second drive because he hit his first one out of bounds. So he had a net birdie with the second ball. But I'm sorry to go a little deep dive into this. There's two other examples that I want to give you, right? At the 2015 US Mid Amateur Championship.
That is a deep dive.
It is a deep dive. Sammy Schmitz aced the 290-yard par 4 33rd hole to go dormy in the championship match, and he won it a hole later to earn him a place in the Masters. So the idea that there's jeopardy here, like there's something in it, like you're trying to win something. But even better than this, I'm going to go one
even
more.
I haven't even done a countdown.
Yeah. How can it get any better?
It can get better. Get this. Okay, so this is going to go back to pre-the European Tour. So 1971, it happened at the Martini International.
Can I ask though, have you had a quiet Christmas?
Yeah. No, but this is really good.
No, it's great, but go on.
Listen to this, right? So the European Tour was founded in 1972. So all they were playing all these weird events. So the Martini Tour.
When did the EU start?
The EU started in 1957. Well,
Ireland joined in 1973, was
73.
It?
Ireland joined in 73.
Yeah. There was a Europe before we joined.
No, I know that.
Yeah. But anyway, so...
Sorry.
This guy, okay? Oh. So journeyman, English golfer, and his name is John Hudson, okay? So he's playing in the 1971 Martini International. Second round, he's on the 12th hole at Royal Norwich Golf Club. He gets 4-iron and gets a hole-in-one on the par 3, which is 195 yards. Tees it up in the next one and aces that one, which is a par 4. Wow. It's the only time in recorded golfing history, two holes in one, back-to-back. That's pretty good. So just those examples, they're just better shots than Dustin Johnson nearly acing out on a downhill hole.
It's recency bias at its worst, isn't it?
It's appalling.
It's bizarre, impulsive
tweeting as well. And then you kind of have to think, oh, I better stand by this now. I've tweeted it. It's weird. It's the dumbest thing Chamblee may have ever said.
Yes.
And it goes against everything Chamblee has ever said about himself in the way he goes about his...
He has a forensic analysis of golf. It's unemotional. Yeah. He looks at stats. He looks at patterns and
values
makes determinations. Yeah.
Values history.
And makes his determinations based on that rather than just recency bias or some emotional reaction to something you've just watched.
What if he is right?
Is it even the best shot Dustin Johnson's ever hit?
Probably not.
What if context isn't everything? That he is simply looking at that going as a swing, as a technical thing.
Yeah.
What he has just done is the most impressive golf shot I have ever seen. Mm. Because so, like, context.
You ask
a lot of people greatest golf shot, they might say Tiger 16th out of the bunker, which is one of those golf shots that's ruined the more you learn about golf and realise actually you just hit it up there and it rolls out.
Well, no, Tiger 2000, when he hit that one in the gloaming out of the bunker, whatever, that crazy 6-iron that went like 215. Mm. Like, Tiger rates that as the best shot he's ever
hit. Bubba.
Yeah.
Out of the pine
straw. But again, that's where context is everything, because Bubba hits that shot normally, you just think that's Bubba just
to it. Yeah.
A little bit Bubba. But.
But like, I mean, look, if Johnson had done that and it was to win a major or big tournament, it takes on a different context for me. You can't separate the moment.
Also, luck involved. I know he hit a straight drive. I mean, I know he played to hit the hill. Mm. But like, did you see the ball? It hits the hill and bounces. Like, oh. Now, I'm not taking away from Johnson being dialed in and playing beautiful golf, but like,
I can call it one of the best shots of the year, but the best shot of all time.
But was it the 14th at Royal St. George when Dustin Johnson was contending with Darren Clarke at the Open Championship?
Put
it out of bounds.
Yeah.
Like, which would have been a greater shot? That tee shot in Hawaii, or actually putting that to within 6 inches? I would have thought at Royal St. George with the pressure of an Open Championship in the final round, putting that to 6 inches would be a far greater shot than what he did in Hawaii.
I don't contend, if Chamblee's opinion is a really long straight drive is the most impressive shot in golf, that's fine. Find a better one than this.
Yeah.
So, any other thoughts on that tournament? Like, so Johnson's here, he's going to have a good year, you presume. He's in the mix, and that's a nice thing to know early doors.
He's obviously, I mean,
John Rahm finished second.
Yeah, I think that's kind of really worth mentioning, more even than Dustin Johnson, who's obviously Dustin Johnson. But, so he's way behind, he finishes second. So, on one level, you're like going, he turned pro a year and a half ago. With this second place, he moves from fourth to third in the world. Like John Rahm's had the season to beat all seasons. And there's no, well, for him. So there's no, surely when you're looking forward into the year, you're thinking, Jesus, John Rahm going to win a major. Like, it's not a stupid conversation.
No. What's the top three presently? Do we know?
So it's Justin Thomas?
No, Dustin number one.
Dustin number one, sorry.
Is Spieth two?
Spieth number two, I would have thought.
It has to be, given the season he had. No, no, maybe it's just an...
I'll Google it.
We should look. This is embarrassing now. We don't even know. But he's number three in the world. John Rahm. He's in the thing a wet week.
And he wins everywhere.
Do either of you have your phone on you?
Yes.
Well, why don't you just check
it? Just check it there. Just check it.
It's like at a pub here. Just take out
your
phone. Here,
while you're doing that, like...
There's nothing worse than a phone call than a pub conversation. Just take out your phone.
This is a start of what should be a good year for Dustin Johnson. But like some of the statistics with this win for Dustin Johnson...
Are your statistics going to be more impressive than... Fionn's virtuoso performance over the last
This is so his 11th straight season. There was a bit of a row about, well, one of these was a wraparound season, so he hasn't gone 11 straight years.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
With a win. Every other player who has gone on a run like that is in the World Golf Hall of Fame.
Oh really?
Last 10 years, most wins on the PGA Tour,
Tiger Woods
18, Dustin Johnson 17.
I thought, because Rory's
high. McIlroy 13.
So it's Tiger, Dustin and McIlroy for the last 10 years.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. But also, you look at the amount of other majors he put himself into contention. Like, he was very, very close within his career. Maybe he does move on to that level over the next 2 or 3 years and win three or four
He's thrown away two or three of them.
Like, he's getting towards a Phil Mickelson-type career.
US Open at Pebble Beach, should have won that.
Royal St. George.
Royal St. George should have won that. The US one, Open at the Space... What was that planet called? Chambers Bay.
Yeah.
Did he mess one up last year? Can't think.
No, well, no, because he was injured.
But that's three majors he really should have won.
Well, he was the best player in the world heading into the Masters last year.
And did his back.
Yeah.
Okay, let's give him the Masters. Potentially four.
So he's won the Masters, more or less. Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? So potentially he could have had four plus... Does he have one or two now?
One.
So he could have five majors very easily.
The official world golf rankings. Number one, Dustin Johnson. Number two, Jordan Spieth. Number three, John Rahm. Then Justin Thomas. Number five, Hideki Matsuyama, Rose, Fowler, Koepka, Stenson, Garcia.
Actually, one point in Justin Rose. I'll show you the picture later. Remember before Christmas, me and you spotted where the MasterCard people, Graham McDowell and Justin Rose, had tweeted something like, you know, buying my presents early this year, can't wait. So easy with the MasterCard, blah, 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 blah. So Rose had a doozy the other day. I mean, it was just disgusting. It's like, it's so icky to even think of it. So it showed him at a desk like this, and he's got his hand like very ostentatiously front of the desk, and he's signing a piece of paper. And he said, just doing some like charity signings for the fans. And the only people tagged in the tweet underneath was the watch company he's sponsored by. And the watch is a spaceship on his wrist. I mean, the first thing you see is a watch, and he's just there smiling, signing. Does he think people don't see through this? All anybody said, like, the kindest comment was, great that you have the time to do this, Justin. There's a little pun for you there, Fionn. But
your question to people advising him.
It's so grim.
It is
golf is one of the worst offenders with this crap.
Because they're all about that native advertising, you know. So the whole idea is, oh, no, no, make it natural. Organic and natural. Yeah. And you're like, no, you just come across this.
Rory going on a tour of the Omega factory.
Yeah.
To see how a watch is made.
This was an attempt at organic. Like, I'm just here, well dressed in a 3-piece suit, signing for the fans. Like, not even just going about my day, just signing.
Who took the photo, I wonder?
Well, listen, just someone happened to. It was well lit. It was a nicely framed photograph. Yeah. Anyway, Justin Rose in the top 10.
Here's a question for you, right? Talk about wraparound seasons. So on the 2017-2018 schedule, what event do you think, what number event Kapalua is?
8.
Close.
9.
Yeah. Well done. No, I thought you might have gone 7. It's the 9th.
I think you would have been too off, and I would have won. It would have been brilliant.
It's the 9th event of the season, and we're in the 10th of January.
Well, that's the way it goes, you know.
Wow. Here, one more for you, Joe. You're going to like this. You're going to like this.
Quick.
So, Dustin Johnson was the 4th world number one to win by 8 shots. This is from Justin Ray, who is the Golf Channel stats
guru. He's so rude.
Who's a genius.
Oh, yeah, Justin Ray.
This sort of stuff.
Follow him.
So, he's the 4th world number one to win a tournament by more than 8 shots or more. Ernie Els, the 1996 Northern Trust Open.
Of course.
Jordan Spieth at the 2016 Tournament of Champions.
I know the next one. Tiger Woods at Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods on 10 separate occasions.
Oh my God.
Justin Ray, when Tiger Woods eventually retires, Justin Ray will be the singular source of the greatest statistics for Tiger Woods' career.
The Tiger Woods news, if we must just mention. So he's going to tee it up at Torrey Pines, where he's won 7 or 8 times.
8 times.
Is it eight including that US Open? I think it is.
Mm.
And it's quite then, a changed course now, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's
I know they played the two courses, but
7,600 yards, the north and south courses.
Yeah, but he's got a club head speed of 189 miles per hour.
Yeah,
that's true. Third fastest in the PGA.
Listen, it's exciting times. So he's going to play Torrey Pines, and then one of our favourite tournaments, he's going to play the Genesis Open, aka the Los Angeles Open, at Riviera. You know, Humphrey Bogart's tree and all
you
that.
You love
stuff.
That.
It's a touch of class.
Oh. Mm.
It is great. I mean, I'm really back into it then. So to have Tiger Woods at two tournaments is going to be spectacular.
Did you see what he was asked at the news conference that he was talking, that he was reluctant to bait about kind of filling a schedule too much. And then he said what his surgeon had said to him. He goes, "You'll be fine for the rest of your life because it's bone on bone."
Okay. Fair enough.
Mm.
So. The other thing to mention about this weekend then, before we get to our Harrington clip, is that the Sony Open is on. Jordan Spieth is 9-2 favourite, with Justin Thomas 8-1. Justin Thomas likes it out in a way.
He's the defending champion.
Yeah. Did he win the both tournaments last
both
year?
Both tournaments, yeah.
Okay.
Second player ever to win both.
So it goes Spieth
Ernie?
And Thomas.
Wow.
And Mark Leishman then is like third favourite, so it goes off a bit of a cliff. And the South African Open is on. The European Tour is fighting, and it's all South Africans, as you can imagine. Brannon Grace is the favourite with Charles Schwartzel. George Coetzee is there. It's not a superb field.
Just on the Sony Open, looking back at the last few years, so the last three winners of the Sony Open have all finished in the top six at the Tournament of Champions the week before.
Hmm.
So there is seemingly a growing correlation between guys who do well at one and the other.
Is another like a mitigating factor is the guys who are actually in Hawaii for the Tournament Champions just stick around for the following
week.
Well,
actually, surprisingly, when you look through it, if there's, 30 players in the Tournament of Champions, I would say almost half of them don't bother playing the week after.
A few of them say, do you know what, let's have a holiday now.
Yeah, they're I could have come last in that tournament and still get a paycheck for 100
grand. What did you think? Oh, yeah. Did you see Ricky's shirt?
Again, going back to the Justin Rose type scenario. So I read about Ricky's shirt, so he's wearing a Hawaii shirt.
But not tucked in.
Again, wearing a shirt playing golf.
I like
I'm
it.
I'm sure he has it. Except, it's got the giant BMW logo here. It's got the, you're relaxed, but you're still corporate.
Yeah, I mean, was it ever going to be thus? I mean, Ricky's sponsored, so no matter what he wears, he has to wear a sponsor's logo. I just mean the style of golf apparel. There's something classy about an open shirt. Ricky.
The Justin Thomas thing last year at the Open was phenomenal. Do you not remember? It was like a tie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I thought the Justin Timberlake tie.
Fantastic.
Yeah, as a longtime fan of the Trilby Tour, I think that more players should replace golf caps with trilbies. And then you could put the sponsor's logo on it, but the trilby is a touch of class. And you mentioned you like Riviera because it's a bit of,
old school.
It's got old school. So I guarantee you the first player that rocks a trilby convincingly, not an old guy, a young guy who rocks a trilby, I think you'll do okay.
I had a wonderful idea outside that we can come back to as the year goes on. Fiona's looking for more competitive golf when he overcomes his injury. Obviously, we can give the Trilby Tour an even greater platform than it already has. What if we got Fionn into a Trilby Tour event?
Four left!
It could be
genius.
Can
I reload? Sorry, can I reload?
Something for you to focus on.
Yeah. Can I reload? See, Joe's looking for... There's a kind of an insider scoop here. It's just that Joe's face kind of went... Because Joe in his head, he goes, I'm a better player. I can hit the ball farther. Why don't they put me on the Trilby Tour?
I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking it's 3:20. My day is already in tatters now.
Oh, okay.
That's what hit me, is the truth. Fionn on the Trilby Tour, I would watch that. Yeah,
so would I.
And you probably weren't totally wrong either in what you said about me and what I was thinking. before we go, there are your two tournaments this week. Padraig Harrington was here reviewing the papers with Paul Kimmage. Tommy, I'm going to show this clip now. The TVs in here are off, if there's any way you could flick on that TV in a minute. Okay, cool. So Padraig Harrington was here in the studio with Paul Kimmage on the Sunday. He was talking about a range of things. The clip we have here, well, we got talking about retirement. One of the pieces in the paper was about Stephen Hunt interviewing Kevin Doyle, who was at retire with concussion. And so we got talking to Harrington about retirement. He has no intention of retiring, doesn't want to outstay his welcome. And he got talking about playing with Seve. Like, Harrington doesn't want to be one of these guys that young players dread playing with. So here's some of what he was saying on Sunday.
Maybe slightly different, but Seve Ballesteros would have been a hero of mine growing up. I played with him all the year 97, everything, because he was Ryder Cup captain, so every round I was paired with Seve. And it was a horrible experience. Yeah. Now, clearly, Seve, he probably had the brain tumour at that stage. But here's a guy on the golf course, a hero of mine, who was struggling big time with his game. But it's not just the struggle, it's the fight. Because he's a great champion, it's the hurt that he's going through, the work level, all that. And he's signing a debt out on the golf course, and you're watching your hero do this. I don't want to be that guy with the young guys.
I remember he turned up at one of his last Masters, and he had his old crappy old bag with no sponsors. It was really, really plain, ugly bag. And you just thought, this is Seve Ballesteros. I mean, really?
Yeah, like, we wanted Seve, and this is the thing. I would have loved Seve to walk into every clubhouse and just puff out the chest and go, I'm here.
Yes.
And the world would have loved him for that.
You said you don't want to be that guy with the young guys.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't want the young guys to turn around and go, be paired with Harrington, and you know, God, look at him grinding away out there. Didn't that look tedious?
Right.
I want to be, if I can play, great, but even at the level I'm playing at the moment, I want to be a guy, wow, that guy looks like he's having a great time out here. He's enjoying it. And to be honest, that's what's changed in my life has changed that way quite a bit. I'm not as serious as I'm serious about my golf, but I'm not as serious as I would have been, 10 years ago.
Carrington, how he feels, but I think he was interested on a ton of stuff. But
he's brilliant.
He's going to keep playing as long as he can. Really, is the short.
Well, why
version.
Wouldn't you?
I thought it was interesting that he would prefer to go into coaching than
punditry.
Like, he's, as you spoke about, he's so well suited to punditry. He was very honest about Justin Rose hitting one of the worst shots he's ever seen.
Yeah.
At the Masters.
Yeah.
I'd tell him.
Yeah. It'll make you a better player.
Like, as long as you take it the right way. As a coach, I presume. You've got to assume with Harrington, he's always smart enough to realise that he'd have to condense his message a little bit.
By all accounts, he's very, very good at a pro-am. He really gives you good stuff. Mm. He doesn't overburden you with info.
I wonder what a young Harrington, like the young Harrington who decides, I'm never going to read any press coverage of myself, how he would react to kind of an older player kind of going, Park, man, that was the worst shot I've ever seen.
Mm. I think he'd be smart enough to get you're being paid to be a pundit.
Mm.
It wasn't like he walked up to Justin Rose on the course or shouted in from the gallery.
Mm.
He was just on TV commentating, so I presume he'd get it and would just ignore it. There were 97 minutes in that paper review, so really the best thing to do is download the thing. We can't cover everything, but he was brilliant. I mean, he's just he's interested in everything.
Yeah.
He took Joe Brawley to task over using the F word in his piece, and even that was compelling.
Mm.
You know,
So
I think we're pretty much done for today, are we?
Yeah, I had a story of Brad Fritsch. Have you heard of Brad Fritsch?
No, I think I've only heard of about 30% of the people we've mentioned.
He's been suspended by the PGA Tour for three months for failing a drugs test. So he wrote about it on Facebook. Held his hands up.
What did he take?
He took a spray called Biosum, which he knew he was taking. Basically, he's 242 pounds, he's 40 years of age, and he decided he wanted to lose some weight. So his mate Alex is a chiropractor, runs a really successful weight loss program. So it was low calorie, high disciplined eating, two meals a day, small bit of protein. Says he almost died in the first couple of weeks, it was so difficult. But then he was taking a liquid multivitamin, even more vitamin D, a body detox solution, a probiotic, and a spray called Biosum.
Right.
Hey, it's not that spray that got Vijay in trouble, right? That was a text from one of my brothers. I was telling him, my other brother, what I was doing with the weight loss program. It felt like my heart sank into my stomach when I read that text. I couldn't believe I hadn't checked all the supplements against our anti-doping list. I immediately sent a text to Andy Levinson, head of the Tour's anti-doping program, about it. And it turned out that, yes,
God,
there was an issue.
Sounds fairly upfront and honest.
Yeah, said he would have felt incredibly hypocritical that he has a major problem with the PGA Tour's policy of not revealing that if people have failed drugs tests, so he very much wanted to come out and get ahead of it.
Okay, good on him.
Yeah.
Brad Fritsch, we applaud you.
Yeah. Because the PGA Tour, that policy is embarrassing. You know. We're done.
We are.
We will reconvene next week. If you've been watching for the first time on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or
the other things where it may end up.
The other things we mentioned earlier on. YouTube as well. Nice to have you with us. We'll do some more. We'll do some putting drills. Our aim is to get the Sky Sports Shot Centre in here. And if you're just listening on podcast, then great. Nothing has changed in your world, really. Fiona, we'll see you in person in a couple of weeks. We'll Skype you next week. And Nathan, we'll talk next week.
Sure, Joe.
Okay, good luck.
All my exes wear Rolexes. right here in Dardanelle, all picket town. Little J.D. starter kid right here. Now Mama Lou makes chocolate.